Hello there, everyone. My name is Wes, and I'm joined by Adrian and Matt for another Healthy Stream episode. As a fair warning, we will spoil this week's movie in our review, so if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out and come back to this later. Let's get streaming! Well, hello, hello!
What's up, motherfuckers?
What's going on?
This guy likes to party.
I like to party, motherfuckers.
Whoa, what are you drinking there?
This is my, you know, show.
It's some wine, it looks like, right? It's not a year 2020.
It is a glass of wine.
You drinking that Christ
Bad year for damn near everything.
Let's see what year it is. This is, my wife bought this for me, and I went to go look at, like, what kind it was. Like, oh, is it a Pinot Noir
or Pinot Grigio?
This is called table wine.
Oh.
That's just what it says.
Wine for the dogs. Yeah. Here you go. I got you this.
Yeah. Dog wine.
Put it on your table.
Oh, yeah. It's used to clean tables. You rub down your table with it.
Do you have anything cheaper than the box?
Yeah. Yeah. This is, some, this is some wine we... We wiped up off the table with a sponge and drained it into
a bottle.
Yeah. Table wine.
The 2020 special.
It's not bad. I mean, it's not my favorite wine, but it's not bad. So, guys, this week's movie was a doozy, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Had a...
Say something like that. Are you proud of your pick, Adrian?
I fucking love it. I love your guys' reaction to it.
We'll get into that.
I'm very happy right now.
We'll definitely get into that when he defends himself. But it did have me thinking this was a... This movie definitely had a lot to do with the family unit and moms and dads. And it had me recall a lot of things that I might have done growing up. You guys kind of feel the same way? Adrian, I know you probably did some things that pissed your mom and dad off.
Just looking at you, you can tell that.
It's safe to assume.
Yeah, I did some things. I only really have stories from when I was a lot younger because my parents got divorced when I was a teenager. So it was a fucking free-for-all from that point forward, you know?
Yeah, lawlessness.
Yeah, it was basically like... growing up in Fallujah from that point forward. There was no laws. It was very dangerous to drive. But I do have a story involving my parents, one where I upset both of them pretty bad. I was about 6 or 7 years old, I would say. And I grew up in a townhouse complex because, you know, I was poor back then. I'm very rich now, so I've started from the bottom, and now I'm here. I know a lot of people think, oh, he started at the bottom. He was a mid-grade Canadian actor. But no, I mean, like, I was a poor child. And since I lived in these apartments, my dad had a rule that I can only go to like 5 different places. It was pretty big. So I was only able to go to the same 5 places. That was what I said. I'd leave, be like, hey, going to the same 5 places. I'll be back later. On the other end, where I wasn't allowed to go, there was a basketball court. And a lot of my friends started going there one day, and I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to play with fire here and go check out this basketball court. So I head down there, and I'm down there for what has to be like a half an hour, and I see my dad walking up, and I'm like, oh, shit. I gotta bail out of here. So I just start booking it.
Outside the school when your dad showed up.
And I thought that I was cool, but I took off running, and I thought I hid from him behind a... You know the dumpsters that they have in the communal dumpsters they have in apartment complexes that have like a little brick wall around them and a gate that swings open at the front? I went and hid behind the wall there, and I'm just like looking, and he catches me, and he gets super pissed off at me, and he goes, you know, the only reason I got mad at you is because he ran from me. And I was like, oh shit, okay, sorry. And then, so the next day, I head right back over there. He comes up again, and I stand there. I'm like, oh, what's up, Dad? He's like, you're still not allowed to fucking be here. I'm like, but you said the only reason you were mad is because I ran. So I thought, like, we're cool. And I got grounded for a week for that.
How did he catch you around the, like, you didn't see him coming, like, around the corner of the thing? Did he just, like, jump on top of the trash can, like, like, come out from the top?
Surprise!
I was a 7-year-old, you know? So I was just, like, hiding and kind of looking off the side, and I was cornered there, pretty much.
You weren't even keeping watch.
I was, and I'm pretty sure that's how he saw me. So that's my mom and dad story. And I think if they were going to turn and kill me, that would be the time they'd do it.
You have any brushes with death and mom and dad, Matt?
I wouldn't say, well, maybe from them. That you reminded me of a story, actually, when you were telling about running from them. One time I went up into the hills, and I used to have a trail bike, like a little 70cc Honda. And
nice.
Yeah, oh, that thing's a beast. And so we were up there riding around.
Starting fires.
Yeah, same hills, by the way. Yeah. Famous hills. Yeah. I used to go up there a lot.
Good callback.
Speaking of Fallujah, yeah. And so we're up there cruising around. And right as we're coming down the hill, there's a cop coming from the cross street. And I think I was on the back of my buddy's bike at this time. So I don't know if I had mine yet. And so we take off running. We're like maybe 12, driving away from these, the cops. The guy obviously sees us. He does a U-turn, starts chasing us. We're going up our street towards our house. I'm looking back and the cop turns to go up our street. It's a cul-de-sac at the top. So he's clearly following us.
Dead end.
We live next to our grandma. So we pull into her driveway, just abandon the bike into the middle of the driveway, run to the back of her house, jump up the wall, and then climb into my parents' yard, which is, you know, right next to it, and just sit there and hide in the bushes, thinking we got away. The cop just like walks up, rings the doorbell. He's like, I need to speak to your kids. Pulled us down. We had to go end up impounding the bike. And yeah, they weren't happy about that at all. From running from the police, clearly not going to get away. So that was probably one of the dumber things. But no death threats.
That's good. Everyone survived that ordeal. I did do some pretty stupid shit. And this movie, there was one point in this movie where they make, I believe they bought some ecstasy or some MDMA pills. They had a little baggie of pills. I assumed it was ecstasy. Well, that rang true to me because when I was, I'd probably say about 18, I experimented with that drug and through no choice of my own. I didn't set out to say like, hey, I'm going to do some ecstasy. What happened was I was like visiting a girlfriend at the time and she had a snowboard jacket of mine and I was supposed to go up to Big Bear to go snowboarding that weekend. And I went and she worked at Jack in the Box at the time. She's like, yeah, just come by Jack in the Box and I'll have your jacket. So I went in there. There must have been this guy behind me that heard me telling her like, yeah, all right, cool. She's like, yeah, we'll have fun snowboarding. I'm like, right on. And I walked out of Jack in the Box, get in my car. And this dude followed me out. He's like, hey, man, I heard you're going snowboarding this weekend. You want to buy some ecstasy? And I said yes. I didn't have any plan on doing it, but I just was living life by the seat of my pants at that time.
That guy knew you were like the prime suspect to be purchasing some ecstasy at that point. He's like, snowboarding? Yep. This guy's going to need some ecstasy.
18-year-old? Yep.
That's an offer you cannot refuse.
What's funny is I've realized like, you know, if you were looking at the graph of like me as at that age and then me now, the times people have offered me drugs at this age has gone severely down. It's declined.
It's a bummer, right?
No one offers me drugs anymore.
They're like, oh, we don't want to see that old sad guy.
Yeah. Well, I end up buying the drugs from this random dude, taking him on the trip, and we took him, had a great time. But this was in the days of the dial-up internet, the dial-up modem, which was on its own phone line.
Which actually sounds a lot like a randomizer, come to think of it.
It does. Yeah. The randomizer is actually on dial-up. That's all we could afford. Please donate to the show.
AOL randomizer. Yeah.
So that being said, I was telling my friends about my experience on this trip over the phone. And my dad, unbeknownst to me, was downstairs trying to get on the internet to check his his Yahoo mail or whatever. And my conversation broadcast over the speakers of the computer. And he heard everything I said about taking ecstasy, how no one knew about it. I got it for this much. I totally got away with it scot-free. I was basically bragging about how easy it was to buy and take ecstasy and walked right into a trap. So I was grounded pretty heavily. There was lots of counseling sessions and shit that followed it.
How did it go? Did your dad like call you down? He's like, hey, Wes, what would you say the street value of ecstasy is right now? Like if you had to guess ballpark, what would you say it was?
Oh, man. I was actually
in the room when it happened, so I can tell you exactly how it happened. He opened the door and he politely said, Matt, get the fuck out of here. And I said, okay. And then I just went in my room and heard the shouting.
Yeah. If you've seen this movie, like the way that Nicolas Cage kind of looked when he was about to kill his kids, that was pretty spot on. If he had one of those meat tenderizers like they had in this movie, I probably wouldn't be here right now.
That's all, folks.
So
then we'd have to find someone else to host this thing.
I can see the wheels turning.
Like, you should have heard what else he said, Dad.
We could find another host. So there you go. Yeah, that's my mom and dad story. So Adrian, let's get right into it. You picked mom and dad. This was from.
I did.
I don't have the details in front of me. Was this 2019? This was on Hulu.
2007. This is 2017. You know, 17. Things were different back then.
Okay.
It looked like actually a better time.
Yeah. Nick Cage was doing 20 movies a year at this point in his career. Which
now he's doing 25.
Yeah. Which is a real slow time for him. Yeah, it was a lull year for Nick Cage. Yeah. But I'm guessing you're asking me to defend myself why I chose this movie.
I am. I really want to hear a defense from you about why
not
you chose
only
this.
Chose it, but chose to force feed it.
Yeah.
While it wasn't even an option for me on the randomizer list.
Yeah, that's true. You bucked the system and really went for a gray area that we weren't ready for live and decided to just throw out. You're just freewheeling it and force feeding these movies that we had no warning.
I'm like a hacker you hire to come try to break into your system and find all the loopholes. That's me with the randomizer right now.
Yeah. Fingers, gloves, and sunglasses. Just talking shit in words that we don't understand.
Yeah, just like numbers going across the screen randomly and shit. That's me.
Like Leonardo DiCaprio at the end of Catch Me If You Can, like teaching us how to like break the system so we can fix it.
Exactly. I'm doing a public service here. But the reason I chose this movie is because it looked really fucking weird, which I think it lit up to that.
Good eye.
We'll all agree.
Good eye.
We haven't had a Nick Cage movie on this show yet.
I know we were doing really good.
And I think that's a crying shame.
I know I've submitted some myself.
Oh, really?
They haven't submitted. Yeah.
Oh, just out of the sheer number of movies we've submitted, there has to be some Nick Cage movies in there.
Yeah. Statistically, we've all submitted 5 at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it looked weird. It didn't look like your normal Nick Cage movie that you see where he's the good guy and he saves the day, or he's the bad guy and he saves the day.
Put down the teddy bear.
He played kind of a villain in this. And I was like, I want to see Nick Cage's rendition of this character. So that's why I chose it.
Okay. Who wants to go first? Let's break this thing down. Let's talk about this thing. Matt, I think you feel pretty strongly about this.
Yeah, I didn't like it. It was extremely uncomfortable, the whole movie. And I had no idea what it was about. I thought it was like going to be some like life lesson learning coming of age movie. And that went out the door when they were in school and people started jumping the fence and a kid got stabbed with a key. I was like, what the fuck? That was like, that was the first inclination I had of anything that was weird going to happen about it. I should have known. But
I wish I could watch these movies the way you do, Matt. I wish I had the experience you have where you're just like, all right, what? I'm going to watch a nice family comedy and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, dude. It was definitely a weird ass movie. But I don't know if the whole thing just really rubbed me as uncomfortable. There's some really uncomfortable scenes with like baby. And I mean, it was okay. It just like the gore and stuff was a little over the top.
You're a little squeamish. You're a little squeamish.
No, I mean, not really. I think it caught me off guard more than anything and just didn't sit well with me.
You know what this reminded me of, Matt, that like I was thinking of while I was watching it? I almost knew. I was like, Matt's going to hate this because you know what this reminds me of? Funny Games.
It did, totally. And I hated that movie. I was thinking that same comparison.
Oh, there you go. I think I know how Adrian's going to rate this one. Yeah. But I was like, for some reason, I had the same vibe. I'm like, this is like funny games in a way. Like, yeah.
It's nonsense, and there's no explanation for anything going on.
Yeah.
And when we watched Funny Games, I took the DVD out of whatever it was in, and I snapped it in half.
I remember that. I watched it with you. Matt came over to my house and he was like, he goes, "Hey, dude, check it out. My buddy burned me a copy of this movie called Funny Games." And it was like and we just put it in my Xbox and we like watched it. And then like, as soon as it ended, Matt like just stood up, opened the Xbox and snapped the CD.
I imagined that going differently. I was like, I thought like, oh, we got to return this to Blockbuster now.
But, you know. No, I used to have a bootleg DVD guy.
Oh, that's cool.
Everybody did. Those guys are out of business now. Streaming service wiped out the bootleg guy.
Poor kid, the little man always suffers.
No one's worrying about the bootleg guy.
Well, before we get too heavily into how much you guys hate this movie, I want to talk about some of the things I liked about this movie, if that's okay with you guys. Is it okay?
I guess. We got 2 minutes or so.
All right. So the intro, like the cinematography in the intro, I knew I was in straight from that. I fucking love that shit. Like how it had the kind of grindhousey feel. I know I say grindhouse on this thing a lot, but I really do fucking feel like throwing back to that old school style of film, and just the way that they threw it together was really cool. How do you guys feel about the cinematography, despite the content that it was?
I agree with you 100%. I thought shot wise, I mean, like you can't do much better than some of these shots of like the perfect suburbs with perfect picket fences to be the setting of such a violent movie. I mean, it sets up a great contrast like for what is going on. And I mean, it is a well shot movie for sure. I will agree with you 100% there.
Yeah. And there was some other stuff, especially from not knowing what the movie was about going into it, that were kind of weird, but then it makes sense. Obviously when when he picks up the kid and pushes him onto the thing and then like tickles him, but it's kind of like creepy the way he goes about it at first, like kicking the toy out of the way. There's little scenes like that, that you're like, this is just kind of strange for what I think this is. And then it makes
sense. Yeah. Because if you know what it's about, there's that scene where he's tickling him where you think, oh, this is going to be the moment where he fucking snaps and starts killing his kids. And then there's the other scene where the kid throws the soccer ball at his head. He throws it at his head and Nick Cage kind of, the music stops and he kind of turns and looks at him like, what the fuck? And you think he's going to go at it again, but then he just starts laughing.
Well, you know what it did was that's like, that zombie movie right there, right? Like this thing was a zombie movie, I think, in a way, right? Because it's like people turning, or virus film or whatever. It's a zombie kind of virus film. And if you watch like Night of the Living Dead and that kind of stuff, like there's those jump scares that are, it's just a cat, or it's like, what was that? You know, you know the zombie's coming, but, and they use that as kind of like a trick. You know, it had that same zombie movie vibe, in my opinion. And like most horror films kind of have that jump scare, but it's fake, or you know, it doesn't end up being anything, or you know, before all the action kind of starts. So I could definitely see the influence, the zombie film kind of influence in it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I thought one of the first shots where they're kind of all together having breakfast in the kitchen, it perfectly captured the casual suburban racism, you know what I mean? where they're like talking to their housekeeper and saying, he's like, I'm Chinese, you know? Yeah. And he's like, sorry. Yeah, fucking whatever. Know, right. Basically. Yeah. But I thought that was a pretty good contrast to try to set this thing up. It was pretty funny.
I mean, that whole part of what made this movie so uncomfortable was like how well of a family dynamic they like showed. I mean, they seemed like they were the American family, like almost perfectly. Like there was no, it was believable, you know? That's the daughter, the kid, the dad, the mom, everybody's, it's a suburban family, like to the T. But when they start murdering each other, I think that's what makes it so uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah.
But intentionally or not, you know, I'm sure it was intentional.
Yeah, it's a well-shot movie. And I think that the only thing you can really knock it for is not liking the actual story and the way they're going about it, because they set it up to be a good movie. It's shot well. They put everything together. But if you just
acted very well.
And it's just, if you don't like the content, you're going to be turned off to it. But I happen to like the content.
So. Sick fuck.
Yeah, I thought that the daughter who played the daughter in the film, Ann Winters, I think it's Ann Winters, I thought she did a great job. She really stood out as a really good actress. I mean, Nick Cage obviously is perfect for a crazy suburban dad in this role. He was awesome. And Selma Blair, too. I thought she was good. So, I mean, acting wise, I thought it was all well done. Believable. I mean, you know, I guess like also, you know, what was sold really well, in my opinion, was that the craziness or whatever you want to call it, the disease or whatever that made these people want to kill their kids. I thought all the actors did a really good job of like portraying that, like they believe this without actually like thinking it through, like
addressing it. Yeah. They never actually address or anything. This is something they have to do that's in them.
Yeah. Like when Nicolas Cage and Selma Blair are outside of the cellar door and they're like talking to each other and they're just kind of like, they both know they have to like kill the kids, but neither one of them are saying like, wait, why are we doing this? Or yeah. Like, mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that they, and it comes off as believable as like, it's just this thing that's possessed their mind. Like I thought, you know, as far as that goes like that, they did a good job portraying whatever this disease or sickness was.
And also how they were so indifferent to other people doing it too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's just accepted.
They know they had to kill their own kid, but like when they go and find that their maid has killed her daughter and put her in the trash can, they're just like, oh, whatever. Yeah, I get it. You got to do that shit. You know, I didn't understand the dynamic, but
she was trying to save her sister, her niece or nephew, and the baby was born. She pried it out of her hands to stop her. And then all of a sudden when she goes back, then she just gets crazed.
Yeah, I think they said the radio was saying, don't go by your own kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so since it wasn't her, because the people were letting other people's kids go, they just only wanted to kill their own.
Yeah.
So because the sister was trying to hurt her own kid, she was still clear of head just to think like,
what are you doing?
Why the hell are you doing this? Like, it's a baby. But if she would have seen her own kids, then she would have flipped.
Yeah, she still hadn't been turned because she hadn't been anywhere near her children yet. So that's what I took from it.
I mean, that's the thing, is they don't ever explain why. Obviously, there's a static on the TV. There's static on the radio. But there's never like a reason. I mean, I was watching this movie going like, how are you going to end this? Because are they just going to say like 24 hours, it's over? I mean, oh, they can explain it with like a comet passed over and now it's switched, or I don't know, like magnetic pull. I don't know. I was like, how are you going to figure this out to where the kids survive? I mean, it definitely
they just didn't. They just ended it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I mean,
the ending.
If I was writing the movie, you'd be like, we kind of wrote ourselves into a corner here. Like, what do we do now? I mean, like, unless you want to just be like, it was all a dream.
That's
like,
I mean, exactly what I was thinking they were going
to
do.
And that's the worst fucking ending to any movie ever. It's all a dream. Maybe the first movie ever that did it is like, oh, that's kind of cool. But then any movie after Wizard that is screwed.
Because it's such a fucking cop out.
Yeah. Everything since The Wizard of Oz has been bullshit that does that.
What was that? What was that Tom Cruise movie? Like Blue Sky?
Vanilla Sky.
Yeah. That was all a dream too, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
If I remember correctly. But it's like, what the fuck?
I mean, that's kind of how I feel about the end of this thing. It's like, cop out. You got to come up with something. You backed yourself into this corner.
I agree.
That is my problem with the movie. That was and I'll tell you why. Because like Matt, I felt extremely uncomfortable. I mean, maybe it's because I pictured my own kids and just, I felt extremely uncomfortable watching children get murdered. And secondly, by their parents, like it really, really disturbed me. Like to the point where I was like, I got to turn this fucking thing off. If I didn't have to do a podcast about it, I would have shut that shit off and like walked away. I was like pacing in my garage watching it. Cause I did not like what I was watching. It really made me uncomfortable. But I thought, well, if you're going to use, I mean, to me, the device, if you want to call it, of killing children is something no one does, right?
That's like a very tricky thing to fucking navigate.
And even I guess Friday the 13th, he kind of did, right? The Freddy Krueger kind of killed kids, but
They were teenagers.
Mm-hmm. It does it as well.
It did eat a kid, right? But I mean, it's a very tricky thing. Like video games won't even let you shoot kids. It's one of those things where it's like,
and it's good for good reason.
Yeah, it's not entertaining.
I'm agreeing with that.
I don't know. And so my opinion, I thought, well, if you're going to go there, if you're going to say, I'm going to use this device of killing kids and really offending you and really getting to your disturbing your core with this type of content, then I want the ending to be some sort of message or payoff that's worth it. But I felt like by the end of this movie, it was just like, that was pretty crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was like, dude, I didn't want to sit through that whole ride just for to nothing. Get to yeah. this.
And like, that's the message, man. That was pretty crazy, wasn't it? And you, yeah. Tell me you don't agree with that. Tell me you don't agree with that.
I do agree. I agree that was the message, and I don't like it. I just thought, like, if you're going to kill kids and do this whole thing, like, there should be some sort of commenting on, there should be some sort of commentary on parenting or something that you take away that you go, okay, like, that's why
don't
I watch
kill
this.
Your kids.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much ingrained in your mind, I think, when you're
like just a little PSA at the end. Just kidding, they're all together. Like, we would never harm our children because A, B, and
we
C.
We love each other.
I almost thought they were going to do that when they had the Sawzall.
Yeah, break the third wall or whatever. Yeah.
That like Cage was going to be like, just kidding. Like, and they were going to be like, this is to teach you a lesson or something. And it would be this whole big setup thing. But that part too. Okay. I have a problem with that. So the grandparents show up to kill. Oh,
yeah. Like, I got to tell you, that's when I was fully on board. When the grandparents showed up, I'm like, yes, they're going to fucking try to kill them now.
I knew that and I was because right. I watched the trailer. I watched the trailer for this movie before I watched it. Like, I watched it a couple days before. I was like, let me see what this movie's about. And I watched the trailer. And I'm like, I'm not going to like this one. I just the idea of the horror movie, they're going to kill kids in this, whatever. But then when they're like, oh, grandma and grandpa are coming for dinner, I'm like, I knew right away. I go, they're going to fucking kill the parents or try. I thought they would kill them. I thought they would save the day. But yeah, when they showed up, I was just kind of like, this is getting
okay. just wrap this thing up.
Because doesn't Dr. Oz in the movie, like, eventually he kind of gives his own kind of like, well, sometimes pigs do this.
Right.
Yeah, but it's Dr. Oz. It's fucking right. Not like credible information.
So whatever he says right is away. Bullshit. I was like, well, maybe that's
he's got a doctorate in movies that end in it was all a dream.
Yeah,
I'm surprised he didn't try to like sell you his diet pills in this movie. I was legitimately yeah. shocked he didn't do that.
They cut it for
just
time.
Slip in the ad. Yeah,
yeah. They just cut
the
it
director's
for time.
Cut. It's in there.
Yeah, exactly. That the diet pills were the cause. Everybody was taking those things.
Yeah, I am down to believe that Dr. Oz's diet pills caused this whole movie to happen. If you want to start like a Reddit conspiracy, I'm in to do that.
We will edit that out, Dr. Oz, if you want to advertise your diet pills on this show.
Yes, we will sell your snake oil to the most vulnerable of groups, our listeners.
But in the meantime, bleep you, you bleeping bitch.
We want Dr. Phil.
Yeah, that's the big guy.
Oh, excuse me, you bleeping bitch. You bleeping bleep bitch.
I wonder if that'll ever get old.
I don't know.
Not to me. When it does, we'll just delete it off the soundboard and move on.
Yeah, we'll move on. So I think this movie really started with the football field massacre.
Yep.
That's when I think like this movie really kicked into gear.
That's really when I started getting a knot in my stomach and I was like, ugh, I don't know if I like this. Well, actually, probably the first one was the kid getting killed with a key to the neck. That was
pretty brutal.
Yeah. So I think that's a testament to how good this movie is to make you believe that these kids are being killed and you being uncomfortable with it.
So this was running through my mind, right? We just talked about this like a couple episodes ago when I brought it up, right? Do you have to agree with the premise of the movie in order it to be a good or bad? And I was like, man, we just talked about this, right? Because I was like talking about that racist movie that I watched. And I'm like, well, I don't agree with what's going on here, but I just tried to judge it for like what the film was. And so
but to enjoy it, you absolutely have to agree with the context. Because I don't know.
I think we're making headway in this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's something extremely uncomfortable like that with no practical ending or moral or anything like that. Yeah. I don't know that you're going to get people that are like, yeah, it was good. Just wasn't for me. No, I'm like, it's uncomfortable. And I don't like it at all. Don't do that.
If you go to a haunted house, right? And it scares the shit. Like you come out and you piss your pants. You'd be like, yeah. Was that a good haunted house? Be like, it fucking worked. I mean, it wasn't fun. Yeah. Like a roller coaster, like, it, you know, there's probably, if it's good, certain points of it, you're like, I want off.
Yeah, you
want to
feel
thing.
It. Yeah.
But I don't know. That's my big question is kind of like, if a movie is supposed to communicate something to us and change our emotions, like some of those emotions are disgust. And if it does a great job of making you disgusted, it hit its goal, right? So
yes.
Is it good or is it bad?
I don't know. You get into the argument of low hanging fruit there too, because you can just do there. You can just come up with all sorts of fucking horrible shit that's gonna provoke that feeling in someone. And if you don't have a way to tie it in, it just seems kind of lazy. And it just seems like you're doing that. You're just trying to push people's buttons.
There are tons of bad movies that make you feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I feel like in this one, it's not necessarily a good movie, but they did it well for what it was. I don't think you could have done this movie any better with what the content is. I mean, you could have ended it better.
I think they took their whole budget and spent it on the first half of the movie. That movie's supposed to be twice as long. They ran out and just cut it.
I mean, the obviously the ending, the girl, you know, is telling her parents like the same thing that they told her in the very beginning, right? Like, oh, we just got to trust you. But maybe I'm missing it. To me, it's like, what is that saying, that kids should trust their parents more? Or is that, I mean,
parents,
was there some sort of message?
Don't understand.
So this is a whole thing was just to like prove an adolescence angst song from the 90s.
Correct.
This is their argument. For the Fresh Prince. In the Fresh Prince's favor.
DJ Jazzy Jeff had it right all along. And I think anyone who disagrees can go straight to hell.
And that was my major thing. I was just kind of like, if you're going to take me on this ride and do these things, I really need a reason. And that's where I was like, this didn't give me a reason. It just felt like a haunted house.
It's fair enough. But I want to get a little more into the points again. So what about punk rock Nick Cage? How do you guys feel about him?
I almost forgot. I loved it. Like the Misfits shirt. Yeah. I didn't recognize the band he was playing, but yeah, setting up the pool table.
Yeah, badass Trans Am too. Sweet car.
Yep. It was. All of the flash. I love the flashbacks in this movie.
Yeah. Him remembering his glory days.
And even at the end when he's having the talk with his son, eating ice cream out on the curb, and he starts being a little too honest with him. I thought that was fucking hilarious.
He definitely played a guy that was like a bad guy from the beginning. I thought they, you know, I mean, not a bad guy, but that was the thing that was like, that I think would be tricky to write is like, how do you make the parents, especially the mom, where you make them likable and motherly, then the kids have to kill them. You're stuck, you know, but they definitely made Nick Cage's character different enough to where I was like, yeah, they could kill that guy. Like he might die, you know, like, I mean, not that I you know what I mean? I just thought like, I was like, they don't make him so pleasable to the audience. They give him enough flaws where you're like, they're setting this guy up to die. Like they're going to let him
take
die.
Its course.
Yeah.
They're going to be fine with him moving on to the afterlife.
Yeah. I thought he died on that explosion and you know.
Yeah, yeah. Me too.
So did I.
But let's get a little more into Nick Cage's acting here. I have a clip here to play of him from the movie. So let's check that out.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I used to be young once too. And actually not all that long ago, by the way. And I think about how things were in my day,
Mr. Ryan.
But now, the world you kids are living in, the things you've seen on the internet, mouth to dildo, dildo to ass, ass to ass, hi Brent, anal beads, things I only saw in magazines.
No.
And the expectations that must come with that.
Dad?
So that's so that's his performance in it. And that's what I think, maybe like the best part of the movie for me right there was that speech.
Solid.
He commits to it, you know?
Yeah. Anal beads.
I don't think he was acting there.
Hi, Brent. Anal beads. You know, that wasn't scripted. He had to be like, okay, I'm changing this up a bit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw my name in, then I'm going to throw an anal beads out there.
I'd like to see the script is probably just like, you know, you kids today with your porn on the internet and titty magazines. And he just, he was like, dildos, ass to ass, anal beads.
Yeah, I thought the intensity he brought to that character was fucking hilarious.
I think he did a great job.
Yeah.
Pure Nick Cage.
I did have one massive plot hole, which was them running the gas to the basement. It's like, you're going to blow your whole fucking house up. If you light that up, your house is exploding.
I don't think it was to light it up, wasn't it? It was just to smoke them out, just to kill them.
Yeah, but you have to keep in mind that, like, they showed their water heater down there, a gas water heater. That thing has a pilot light. That thing's fucking exploding immediately.
I did not even pay attention to that shit.
I'm like, in the basement, that's where they keep all their shit. There's going to be a fucking water heater. And I looked at it, had the exhaust vent on the top, which means it's gas.
Oh, damn. This guy's a homeowner. Yep.
Straight up, man. I know how this goes. And so, like, that place was exploding. Like, even if it went how they planned, it's still exploding with the amount of gas. Yeah. They had to be pumping gas in there for fucking like half an hour at minimum.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I think it was longer.
Yeah, they were just sitting there having a conversation while they're trying to fucking kill them.
Yeah, that's all I got for this. The only other thing is, I know I sent you guys the video of Nick Cage's finest performance. I just wanted to bring that up for the listener.
Yeah, what was the movie called again?
It's called Never on Tuesday. It's from 1989, right. And Nicolas Cage makes a very weird cameo in it, and clearly he's had before his nose job, obviously.
Yeah, was that 1989? That's a cameo because. Was he already starring in like a feature actor at that point? I'm trying to think back, like, when was Raising Arizona?
So Raising Arizona, 1987, 2 years
prior. Which he starred in.
Yes, he starred in Raising Arizona.
So then after that, he does the cameo, which makes that cameo even better.
Yeah.
Because he's basically already a Hollywood movie star by the time he does this. I like it even better now.
For anyone at home, just go to our show notes and there's a link to that video. It's about a minute and 5 seconds long. It's definitely worth your time to check out.
I think I'll tweet it out too. We'll tweet it out so everybody can, if you follow us on Twitter, then you can see it there as well.
Minor role in Fast Times at Ridgemont High as well.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
That was actually his first movie.
All right, well, you guys, I think anybody have anything else to say about this, or are we going to score this bitch?
Score it up.
Matt, why don't you go first? Because I think we all know what's coming.
Let's go lowest to highest. So Matt, you go first.
Yeah, there you go. I never watch something like this again. If it was a DVD, I'd snap it. It was probably completely just unsettling. I hate it. One star.
I think I saw you on Letterboxd at it at a half. You gave it the half star titty bump.
I tried to give it. Yeah, I mean that's basically what it is.
Half star titty bump in a full effect.
Yes, no, yep. I didn't know if it would let me. I tried to do that actually, but if yeah,
I saw you had it logged as a half star.
Yeah, I do. It's a half. I detest this movie.
So you had zero, but then the half star titty bump.
Half star titty bump. Fair enough. All right. You got to give credit where credit is due.
Yeah. I guess I'll go next because I assume I rated it a little lower than Adrian did. I think I landed on this movie at 1.5 stars, and it may be a little low because I agree with everything that Adrian's saying about how well shot it was, how well acted it was. I mean, there's a lot to like about this movie, but like Matt, I feel like it offended me. Like, and not in like a Karen way, but it just like was like I felt disturbed and just didn't want to watch it. And I really think the ending not giving me more was like, why did I just put myself through that? Was that just like a test of to see how gross I could get? Or like, was that just like a, like, I don't know. It just didn't see, it didn't seem the payoff to me at the end. It didn't seem like maybe I missed something. It just didn't seem like it had enough to say to use that type of imagery to pay off. I mean, I guess, I don't know. It's hard for me to explain, I guess, but just if you're going to kill a bunch of kids and babies, then I feel like the message should be pretty strong. And I don't think that the message was that strong. So yeah, I think 1.5, but I think, you know, I can understand why other people would give it a higher score.
It's fair. I understand that you're offended by children being killed. Me, on the other hand, I am not. As long as they're fictional, have at them, baby. That's what I say.
Well, no children were harmed in the making of this. Yeah,
exactly. So, this is right up my alley for the weirdness factor. Children being murdered didn't bother me since they're not real children. There's actors playing children, so I was cool with that. I gave it 3.5. I was really entertained. I do think the ending being so abrupt is the major negative, and them paying no attention to that gas water heater in there when they're pumping their gas into it.
I just want to clarify, I knew they were actors as well. I just didn't like the imagery that I was seeing. I didn't you think know, like, oh, that okay. poor kid.
All right, you know, whatever helps you sleep at night. But Matt, I did want to say that you said you aren't going to watch a movie like this again, and I want you to know I will make sure that you do.
I said I would never watch a movie like this again is what I meant to say without being without being force fed down my throat.
Okay, I'm just letting you know it will happen again.
Okay.
And I'm actually vowing right now to make sure that at all times there is at least one Nick Cage movie in the randomizer. So it's always an option from this point forward.
That's not going to be hard.
I don't think Nick Cage was his problem with the movie.
Yeah, I don't even think he killed one kid, did he?
No, he did not.
Yeah, so he's the good guy, basically.
Yeah, couldn't even kill one kid. What a loser. They're slow.
Get your shit together.
Weak. Oh, well, good. I'm glad we dissected that, guys. I think that was a good... Hey, if you're listening, that just says go watch it yourself and see what you think, because we're all over the map on that one. Adrian, comes the time where I think you have some facts you want to tell us about and maybe check our knowledge on the facts.
That is correct. Let's check the facts.
I think the time is coming near. The facts aren't always crystal clear. But it's time that we illuminate to the max and check the fucking facts. Check the
facts. That's right. It is once again time for the fact check section, where we check our two regular, boring, stupid motherfucking co-hosts' knowledge of general things that happen to people. Or something like that.
For no points.
Or fictional characters.
Yeah, fictional characters. Or sometimes real. Sometimes people who play fictional characters. Real people, that is. So let's get right into it. We got three questions for you guys. And I think last time I double dipped into Matt going first. So I'm gonna
keep that trend and go.
Anal beads.
Anal beads. I'm going to balance the weights of justice again by going Wes the first two this time.
All right, let's do this.
Just so you know.
I'm ready.
So our first fact that needs checking is, what classic family tormenting madman did Nicolas Cage draw on for his character when he flipped his switch in this movie? This is multiple choice. So A, James Brolin in The Amityville Horror. B, Robert De Niro in Cape Fear. C, Eugene Levy in American Pie. D, Jack Nicholson in The Shining. And we're, like I said, we're going to go to Wes here.
I'm going to go D, Jack Nicholson. When you asked the question, I was like, Jack Nicholson, Shining. Yeah. So I'm going to go D, Jack Nicholson, Shining.
D, okay. And Matt, to you.
I also, same thing. I thought that immediately. Who he was looking at.
Okay. All right. Softball. You guys both got it. So
yeah.
One correct each. All right. Fact number two. Let's check it out. During the iconic pool table destruction scene, Nick Cage improvised singing the Hokey Pokey because he found the song to be very upsetting to him. What reason did he give for hating that song? A, the Hokey Pokey is a corruption of the term hocus pocus used by magicians. B, the Bureau of Education used that song to sort coordinated from discoordinated children in his kindergarten. C, his parents used to sing it while they beat him as a child. Or D, it's the one dance he is unable to master. And we are going to go to Wes on this one.
Oh, me again. I'm going to go with the school one that they used it to decide whether you were, what was that, B?
B is the Bureau of Education used that song to sort coordinated from discoordinated children in his kindergarten.
It sounds like that selection? Would piss Nicolas Cage off. I think I'm going to go with B.
You know, you must know Nicolas Cage's fucking pet peeves. You must know Nicolas Cage's pet peeves. Okay, Matt, to you.
Just for the sake of mixing it up, I think I'm going to go with A. That also sounds very Nicolas Cage.
Oh, he would be mad that the Hokey Pokey is a corruption of the term hocus pocus used by magicians.
Sounds very, very Nick Cage.
That's a pet peeve.
I got to tell you, I find all of these very believable. So,
except for, I mean, the lie, He cannot master the hokey pokey.
Have you ever tried it?
Dude,
it's a hard dance.
I'm the worst dancer ever, and I can smash that. If that was dancing, I'd be on Dancing with the Stars, like teaching them how to dance.
All right.
Well, I can hokey pokey the shit out of some.
might see you next season. Oh, okay. So the answer is B. Wes, you got it right. The Bureau of Education used that song to sort coordinated from discoordinated children in this kindergarten. I was talking. Okay.
-1 point.
I sat on my air horn. Sorry.
So you were up by one. Matt.
He was trying to hokey pokey.
So this one is for Matt. You could possibly tie this if you get it right, and Wes does not. Which one of these facts about Nicolas Cage is false? A. He eats animals based on how they have sex. B. He will be buried in a pyramid. C. He forces staff to clean a public restroom before he will use it. Or D. He once did mushrooms with his cat. Keep in mind, only one of these is false.
Fuck.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, I'm trying to figure out the one that's false. Those all sound very Nicolas Cage.
Matt, we're going to you on this one.
I don't know what his pyramid building. I know he spends a lot of money on that shit, so that makes sense. He loves that history stuff. And I don't know how big this pyramid is.
Whatever you're taking, I'm going to take another one so we can cover enough ground. Maybe between the two of us. This is tough.
I'm going to say he did not take mushrooms with his cat.
Okay, so D, he once did mushrooms with his cat, you think is false.
I'm going to go
right, Wes.
Possibly true.
We're picking the one that's false.
Yeah.
So three of these things are right.
Three of these things are
correct.
True.
Correct.
Mushrooms with his cat. Matt took that one. I'm gonna play it all out and just consider that off the board. I'm gonna say that he did do that.
Okay.
And then he wants to be buried in a pyramid. That
well,
sounds.
Let me read them to you. He will be buried in a pyramid. A is he eats animals based on how they have sex, or C, he forces staff to clean a public restroom before he will use it.
Well, if he will be, I mean, how is it? How does he know? I mean, he might like say like I want to be, but or
you think he doesn't have the means to have a pyramid built for him to be buried in?
Okay. I thought it meant like one of the existing pyramids. Like they're gonna dig up King Tut and like make room for Nick Cage.
Maybe, I mean, he might have that kind of money. I don't know.
I don't think he's got that kind of money. He wouldn't be doing 30 films a year, but...
What do you mean? 30 films? He's saving yeah. for that pyramid, man.
Something tells me he's digging himself out of debt, but I'm going to go with the pyramid. I'm going to take B as a pyramid, but
B? Now
I'm... Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Okay. Well, I have bad news. You guys are both wrong.
Wow. Oh!
He, in fact, does... eat animals based on how they have sex.
I knew that. Figured that.
Yeah. He will be buried in a pyramid, and he once did mushrooms with his cat.
Wow.
He is not an asshole who forces the staff to clean public restrooms before he uses them. That is very not Nicolas Cage.
There's got to be one staff member out there that totally disagrees with that comment.
Yeah.
I could have made up something that's true about him. That's very possible, but I don't believe I couldn't find that information if it's true. So to the best of my knowledge, he doesn't do that.
Yeah, actually, he probably seems like the kind of guy that wouldn't. He would just like go in there and do it, smoke a cigarette, and then bail.
Anal beat.
I've seen him in a lot of movies. He seems like the type of guy who doesn't give a shit about what the bathroom looks like.
Yeah, I agree. I should have seen that one.
And that's been Fact Checks.
Fact Checks. Good job, Adrian. That was awesome. So we got, guys, is this next week or the week after? When are we doing this? When are we squaring off?
Next week, Battle Royale.
We're squaring off. Matt, you have our submissions. We're going to be battling next week. Adrian and I are ready to do battle in the squared Skype octagon that we've created here.
The virtual square circle.
The virtual squared circle. Why don't you break down how our fighters are looking and what's going on here, and then add your last caveat.
Okay, so what we have for the total category, the full category, is a comedy. I'm looking to the laugh. So,
which we haven't seen, right? Neither, none
which
of us
we have not seen. Yes, correct. So, it has to be something I haven't seen. And what we have submitting out of the red corner with Adrian is Jay and Silent Bob 2. And do you recall where we can see that, Adrian?
Yes, the actual full title is Jay and Silent Bob Reboot from 2019 on Prime Video, the sequel to Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
And from the blue corner, we have Wes submitting When We First Met. And Wes, where can we find that?
Believe that is on
Netflix. It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Yes. Netflix. I was looking at Hulu. It's not on Hulu, so it must be on Netflix. It is on Netflix.
By process of elimination, it is on Netflix.
Yeah.
The first judgmental wrench I have thrown into this equation is a delicious meal. I wanted to see who had the best food in this film. It's very important. And what we're going to do for the second wrench and important factor throwing in there, because we're looking for some funny movies, some slapstick, I'm going to go, you get extra points if anyone is either hitting the nuts or shits or pisses themselves.
All right.
I have a good feeling about my movie.
Yeah. I don't know. I might. It's Adam Driver. Somebody might. I feel like Adrian's got the
hold on. Is it Adam Driver?
Yeah, the guy from Workaholics. Am I got the wrong guy.
Adam Driver was in Workaholics?
Adam Driver's the guy from Star Wars.
Star Wars?
Oh, fuck. Adam Devine.
Hey, Adam Devine. Okay, if Adam Driver shits or pisses his pants in here, you automatically win.
You never know. He might pop up. He might pop up. No, Adam Devine is what I meant, but I think Adrian's got the leg up on that one. We'll see. We'll see.
I judge the weight of these.
Fair enough. Game on. We'll do it next week. We'll battle down. I'm actually excited to see both of these movies, so it'll be a fun one. Just be sure to tune in.
Going to be a busy week. Busy week. Lots of movies.
Yes, sir. Speaking of busy weeks, guys, I'm a little light on the extra credits this week. I've been busy with some other things and just time has been sucking away from me. I did watch some shows. I did watch one movie, but do you guys have any extra credits that you checked out?
The only thing I started to watch, I'm a little late to the party. I started to watch this season's Hard Knocks on HBO. Mm-hmm. Getting ready for NFL season. And I also watched the first maybe three quarters of Tread, where the guy builds his own tank and starts smashing stuff down. I haven't finished it yet, but that's pretty interesting. And that's really it. I haven't watched a lot.
I got like 2/3 of the way through that. So I'm right there with you. Wes, don't spoil it for us.
I won't spoil it. That was my one extra credit this week. I watched all of Tread. It was interesting. Yeah.
What would you say the best part of it was? The beginning, middle, or end?
Well, I guess it kind of, my only gripe was like, it kind of drags on with him. Like, you kind of like are already like, know what he's going to do. Once the bulldozer gets delivered, you're like, let's see how this all ends. And there's just like a lot of him reading his letters and stuff. And you're like, we get it. You're pissed. You're crazy. We get it. But otherwise, it's an entertaining documentary. Like I just kind of wanted it to get to the end a little quicker.
So the one part we haven't seen.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, is not.
I think I know what's going to happen.
No, you do. It's not astounding. I didn't know about the story before I watched it. I had no idea that this even happened.
I do recall hearing about it.
I went into this like Matt. I was like, what is this? I don't know. And then halfway through, I'm like, why aren't they killing kids in this? And it turns out it's not about that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he doesn't run over any kids. Spoiler alert.
Oh, great. Well, not going to pick up that last third, I guess.
I did start watching. There's a documentary on, I believe it's Netflix, about the Unabomber. They interview him. There's like some lady got an interview with him. And so she's kind of like they kind of break into his whole story. It's kind of the same thing where he's kind of talking about his life and, you know, why he did the things he did. And his family talks about him and stuff like that. And I don't know. I was kind of half in, half out. I don't think I'll finish that one.
Do they talk about where he got his iconic look from?
No. Well, at least not that I...
What made you choose...
The hoodie.
Sunglasses and a hoodie. Yeah. Was that practical? Was it fashion?
I think it was him living in a cabin by himself with nothing else for...
Yeah.
However long.
Lack of resources. Just trying to like cover up.
I mean, it's an iconic look now, though. You have to admit. When you see glasses and a hood, you think Unabomber.
Oh, yeah. Unabomber is like so in right now, man. Like
so in. I mean...
It's like Unabomber is like the summer style, dude.
Yeah, you know, if you wear a hoodie and glasses and you go into the post office to mail something, they're like, no fucking way. Get out of here, man. I'm not
yeah,
touching that thing.
Yeah. I also watched Hard Knocks like Matt did. And I also watched some more of Married at First Sight. But really, it's just been kind of incremental viewing. I haven't really got to sit down and watch a movie. I've just haven't had the time. But I've got some stuff on my list. I did. I'm going to save it for another episode because I got to finish this guy. So that's it for me, guys. I don't have much else. I didn't get to much else other than what we needed to watch.
Cool. I got a few things. I'm going to do a lightning round since I got quite a few here. This isn't something I watched all this last week, but I finished it this week. It's called the Baztán Trilogy or Baztán. I'm not sure how I'm pronouncing that right. It's basically a series of three movies. Baztán, but the A's got a little fucking thing over the top of it because it's Spanish.
Is it the two dots?
No, it's like a one.
Oh, it's a little accent.
Yeah, it's a Spanish movie like from Spain, not like Mexico. And it's
why is there a difference?
Because one's in Europe and the others is like 30 minutes from where I am. Roughly.
That is true. I want to say I took Spanish in high school because I'm like, hey, we live close to the border. Like this will come in handy. And they're like, oh yeah, no, this is real Spanish. This doesn't anything like Mexican. I'm like, well, what the fuck? Like, what use is this?
Yeah.
Anyways,
it's completely useless. But this consists of three movies.
There it goes. Well, we don't have any fans.
Yeah. I mean, it would have come in handy if you were watching these movies. So three movies, The Invisible Guardian, 2017, The Legacy of Bones, 2019, and Offering to the Storm, 2020. All are available on Netflix. I gave them all a 3.5. They're pretty similar to like The Girl and the Dragon Tattoo, that kind of genre.
Ooh, I do like those.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It has like a supernatural element that you don't know if it's real or not until like the very end of the series, which I thought was cool. Starred this girl, Marta Itiro. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, but she was a good actress. I did watch this with subtitles and dubbing. It seems to be good for these type of movies for me. I think both, just one is not enough.
Subtitle and dub.
Yeah, I do both because I found 50% of the movies I watch that way are fucking not lined up. The subtitles say it might have a literal translation and the dubbing might have like a reconstruction to be more fluent in English, I'm guessing. So yeah, it was a all around entertaining movie. I enjoyed it, all three of them. And next, I watched a movie called Dead Sound. It's from 2018. I watched it on Prime Video. This is my lowest rated movie of all time. It is a half star. This movie fucking sucked. I wrote down...
Killed way too many adults in it.
Yeah, not enough deaths.
Yeah, way too many adults. Actually, they did kill some teenagers in it, but... under starring here, I think I wrote down who gives a shit. So basically, this is supposedly a true story, which makes the movie even worse. Every actor in it feels like an off-brand actor you know of. Feel like a dollar store version of some actor that you recognize. And they make the most infuriating decisions, which is what makes the true story part more angering.
Can we hear a little synopsis?
So there are these rich kids who are trying to get to this island, not like a tropical island or anything, like one off the coast that you like Fire on the fest. East coast somewhere. Yeah, it's like, well, like on the East coast somewhere, like one of those like Hampton Islands or some shit like that. I don't even know if that's a thing, but something like that. And they miss their ferry to get over there and they end up having to bribe some of the locals to give them a ride. And then the locals try to extort them. Then it turns into them getting held hostage and people get murdered and it's just really, really bad. And I didn't enjoy it. And I hated that I watched it. I fucking hate this movie.
Where did you watch that on?
It's on Prime Video. It was based on a true story. Normally I'm like, okay, based on a true story, even if it's not that great of a movie, it's like, okay, it's part of history, but no, fuck this. I don't even believe this happened. It was so stupid. If it did actually happen, the people that wrote this script are like, nah, none of that's entertaining. Let's write some stupid fucking story that doesn't make any sense and make these the dumbest motherfuckers who ever lived and cast some people who look like famous people that they might know.
A budget.
Yeah.
You just go down like Hollywood Boulevard and be like, oh, there's a Captain America impersonator. Like, hey, Chris Evans, jump in.
That would have been so much of a better movie than what I watched if they did that. It was fucking horse shit. I don't even feel bad about that. That's how much I dislike this movie. I'm bashing it. I don't care.
Fair enough.
Okay, let's move on. So I can calm down. I watched A Fat Wreck, the Fat Records documentary from 2016 on Prime Video. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Mm-mm. I didn't know it was on Prime Video. When it first came out, I think it was advertised and like it was just a DVD and I was going to buy it and I didn't. But I do want to see it. I'm glad to know it's on Prime Video. I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's I gave it 4 stars. And really, if you're not into the bands on Fat Records or punk rock, you're going to hate this fucking thing. Like, you have to really like the bands on it, but there's some pretty funny shit in it, some cool stories from bands I like. So I enjoyed it.
Actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, I might have seen, they use puppets, right? Like Fat Mike, there's a puppet for Fat Mike and there's a puppet for his wife and other people. Like, they kind of use puppets.
Yes, they do use puppets.
I did see it. Never mind. I did like it.
Okay. Well, that's great. And lastly, I watched a movie that you have had on here before, Matt, actually, that you watched. I watched The Platform from 2019 on Netflix.
I saw you on Letterboxd. I saw you log that one.
Please stop spying on me. This is my personal space, and I need you to respect my boundaries.
I'm just always watching, man. Just always out there watching.
always watching, always judging. Look at the baby.
I'm like Sting. I'll be watching you, man. Every breath you take.
That's all we can afford. but it was I liked it. It was an entertaining movie.
Did you go subtitles and dubs?
Yes. And it was awesome. It's my new thing. It's my new thing. What I really like about it, and I've noticed this with lots of the movies, like sometimes the subtitles will be way more tame than the dubbing.
Yeah.
Like the subtitles will be like, "Oh, come on, man," and the guy will be like, "Go fuck yourself." Yeah, I'm glad I got both versions of that. That was cool. I get to choose which one I like better. It's like a choose your own adventure. How much of an asshole do I want this guy to be doing? I choose dubbing.
Max.
But I gave it 3.5 stars. I didn't care for the ending too much. I think it left a little bit too much to the imagination. But other than that, the whole ride was entertaining. I just, the end of it is where it lost 0.5 star. I felt it would have been 4 if they would have had a stronger ending to it.
I got to check it out now. Maybe I'll check it out this week and I'll weigh in as well. We'll unofficially review it.
For sure. And that's it for me.
Beautiful. There you go. We've got all of our extra credits taken care of. We've got the Battle Royale taken care of. So now, guys, I guess this is where we just, we talked about killing kids. Adrian liked killing kids, which is a little worse than talking about
actors,
it.
Child actors.
Killing child actors.
Not considered children.
Not cool either.
Way too mature for their ages.
Yeah, we've done some pretty bad things, guys. And I think what we got to do now is we got to repent. We got to repent to the randomizer.
Taking ecstasy, running from the police, running from your parents.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've done some bad shit. I got some stuff I got to say sorry for. And I think I've got just the movie to do it. Hey, with that being said, I'll just go first. My movie is a movie from 2019. This was, I believe, nominated for some awards last year. It's called The Farewell, and it's directed by Lulu Wang. And you can find this on Amazon Prime right now.
I like that name.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of my slowly getting around to watching every movie that was nominated and that people liked last year. The synopsis is a headstrong Chinese-American woman returns to China when her beloved grandmother is given a terminal diagnosis. Billy struggles with her family's decision to keep grandma in the dark about her own illness as they stage an impromptu wedding to see grandma one last time.
Ouch.
How many children are killed in it, do you think?
My guess is I'm going with below one, less than one.
That's the Vegas odds got it at?
Yeah.
The over-under is one.
Yeah, I say the over-under is one. And the under one is minus 1,500. But, you know, place your bets accordingly.
Right. I will.
Betting with your heart, aren't you, Adrian?
All right. So that's my movie. Who wants to go next? Who wants to be whipped next and submit?
I will go. I am going to submit The Binge from Hulu. And the synopsis on this one is... not so distant future, all drinking and drugs have been completely made illegal by the government, except for one night. High school seniors Griffin, Hags, and Andrew make a pilgrimage to get the best party in town when all their dreams will come true. Sure, they'll have to avoid the crazed principal, which is Vince Vaughn, violent siblings and wild animals roaming the street, but that's all part of the fun. Their friendship will be tested, love lives will be rattled, and brains completely scrambled. One thing is for sure, no one's life is ever the same after participating in the binge. The purge.
It's the purge.
Yeah. Drugs and alcohol.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Right on.
I'm sold.
Vince Vaughn's in it?
Yep, Vince Vaughn.
Can't be that bad.
I just did a Vince Vaughn impression like fairly recently on this show. I don't know if you guys remember that.
According to the review so far, it is that bad, but we're going to find out.
I've actually never seen any of the Purge movies.
Oh, you're missing out.
I think I saw the very first one and that was it.
If that movie gets selected, I might have to watch The Purge first so I can like see the
comparisons. If it's a knockoff,
I assume there'll be like nods to it.
Yeah.
Right.
The Purge first or the first Purge, which is, I believe, the third one in the series.
How many Purges are there now? There's got to be like
five.
I think three or four, maybe five.
Yeah, I'll just watch the first one that came out and that'll be enough.
I get it.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you a fan of child murder? Because if not, you may not like it.
Opinion unclear.
I assume in a movie like The Purge, the child murder thing is just getting out of control, guys. Settle down. We don't need to break every social... just to go that far. Let's settle down with the child murder.
Grown adults.
Yeah, grown adults is like so last year, man. No one cares about that shit anymore. Adrian, your turn. You better have a good one because you've been talking about killing kids and all kinds of shit. The randomizer's looking bad on you, man.
Well, I got to tell you, this pick is fulfilling a promise I made earlier in the show. And Wes, you may have even seen a preview for this movie I'm about to pick fairly recently, like maybe right after the last movie you watched.
Yeah, I know. I'm typing it now. I know what it is.
It is the 2019 film Primal on Hulu, starring Nicolas Cage, Famke Janssen, Kevin Durand, Jeremy Nazario. Yep, he's in it. He's in it. Maybe a different one. Maybe the one you're thinking of. Kevin
Anything
Durant.
Anything is possible.
Kevin Durant, like the basketball player?
Maybe. I'm reading the name. I don't know if it's the basketball player or if it's just another guy named Kevin Durant.
It's Durant, not Durant.
You want to know what's funny, Adrian? Is that is not the Nicolas Cage movie that I saw.
Really?
No. The preview was not Primal. It was, I can't remember what it was called, but it wasn't that. It was a different one.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow, that's how many shocking to me.
I know.
Because this is the one every time I log in is like the main one on like the big screen above everything else. It's like the featured movie for Nicolas Cage right now.
Yeah. No, this was I'm pretty sure it was called. It had like three words in the title. I don't remember what it was called, but it was like Nicolas Cage is on the front and he's like looking all Nicolas Cagey and it says like the event or something. I'll have to just go on Hulu again. I'm sure I'll see it again, but. Yeah, it was not Primal. I know that.
Okay. Well, we're in for Primal. And let's get the synopsis out of the way here really quick. So hunter and collector Frank Walsh expects a big payday after bagging a priceless white jaguar for a zoo. But the ship bearing Frank's precious cargo has another predator, a political assassin facing extradition to America. When the prisoner manages to break free, Walsh must utilize his expert skills to capture the dangerous killer. Not dead. But alive, Nicolas Cage is Primal. I added that last part in.
Frank Walsh. That sounds like what Nicolas Cage views himself as. Like
I think that's
making
how he picks
his own
movies.
Biography. Yeah,
that's how he picks all his movies. Like, how do I feel today? Feel primal. Let's do that.
All right, guys. Well, they're all in. Let's go ahead and give them to the randomizer and see how she sorts them out. Deal the cards. And we've got Arbitrage from Matt on Hulu.
Nice crime thriller, huh?
I do not remember.
I don't remember that one. Yeah, probably.
I'm guessing Matt Good picked bet. It. It's probably crime.
All right, Matt. So it looks like the one that you picked is Arbitrage. This is from 2012, directed by Nicholas Jarecki. And this is starring Richard Gere, Susan Sarandon, Tim Roth. A troubled hedge fund magnate, desperate to complete the sale of his trading empire, makes an error that forces him to turn to an unlikely person for help. And I believe I've seen this movie It sounds very familiar. I think this was nominated back in 2012. I remember there was a big deal about this movie, but I'm down to watch it. This will be a good one. This will be a good one for us this week. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
You have to.
You have no choice.
Legally, yeah.
If you don't watch this movie, we're going to sue you off your ass.
You'll be hearing from King Amanpour if you don't watch this movie. Personal injury attorney.
And speaking of personal injury, there's nothing left to do but plugs.
Anal beads.
Anal beads. Adrian, if you could put that in a...
we need that as a button.
Cut for us? Yeah.
Can do it.
All right, guys. Yep. This is the end of the show. This is where we tell you to please email us at healthystreampodcast@gmail.com. If you send in your requests for the randomizer, if you send in your reviews, we will read them. We will give mention, give you a little shout out. So please, yeah, just interact with us. We love to hear from you guys. Send it in to healthystreampodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me on Letterboxd and see what I'm watching at Nice Marmot with a zero, NICEMARM0T. Adrian?
You can find me on Letterboxd. You can find me at Anus Wide Shut. Just feel free to look at our show notes.
Wide anus. Shut Wide Anus.
Shut Wide Anus would have been a better name, but it was taken, so I went Anus Wide Shut.
Yeah.
Make sure you look at our show notes. We have links to everything we're saying here in the plug section, a list of all our stuff in the randomizer, all the movies we watch for our extra credit, and this week, even a Nick Cage video from his hit movie, Never on Tuesday, where he made cameo before the nose job. And rate, review us in that order.
5 stars.
And 5 stars and whatever you want for the review. Mm-hmm. I don't care. After the 5 stars, tell us what you really think of the review. Yeah, and that's where you can find us.
Matt, can you give them our Twitter handle, please?
Our Twitter handle is podcaststream.org.tvco.
That's the one we don't want to share. @healthy_stream.
@healthy_stream. There you go.
Anything else you want to tell us?
I am at ghost, or not at, there's no app for that, right? Ghost211, GOESTOELEVEN.
You are physically there, so.
Yeah, you have to go there.
Yeah, so you're at that place.
Well, I don't want to leave this show on a flat note, so don't murder your kids. That's the message of today's show.
We know he's lying. Huh.
What you wished you had at the end of this movie. Don't kill the kids.
Clearly politics in play.
Please vote for me this upcoming November. Say bye, Matt.
Bye, Matt.
Matt, if you need to take a shit, now's a great time.